Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I want to say a couple of things before I get started here. Like I told the bishop a while ago, I drive an hour to work every day. Work at least 8 hours, sometimes more, and drive home. And everybody has to work, and I understand it. I'm glad I have a job. But I've got a ministry. And I preach once or twice a Sunday, and I record, and I have to take time to, hours, honestly, to, once the sermon's recorded, I have to edit it. And then I've got other things, like I'd like to be able to pray before I preach. It'd be a really, really neat thing to be able to do that once in a while. And then I have other things, like Cindy would like to me to pay attention to her a little bit, I suppose. But I've also got other desires. I own a business in Jefferson Parish, and there's a few projects. Well, I have a few clients that every once in a while I'll call and say, my phone system doesn't work. Will you come take care of it? And I'm able occasionally to sneak away or do things afterwards when I get back into town at 6 or maybe on the weekends. It's not really enough to sustain me, else I would have never taken a real job. But I've got a couple of other projects that I'd like to be able to work on that I think could, if they come to fruition, I think that there's an income there that I could work for myself again and not have to work for someone else. And I'm not complaining. I'm not lazy. I don't want to sit at home all day on the couch. I mean, I have to eat, and I'm happy working. I just like to work on my own stuff and on my own time. And when I have time to work or when I feel like working or whatever, I can work. And when I have other things to do, such as ministry or this or that, I'd like to be able to do it. Another thing I'd like to do, and you guys all know that I've spent time in Haiti. Not a lot of time, but I'd like to spend a lot more time. I haven't been back since before the earthquake. And it would be good to be able to visit, and I hope perhaps I wanted to do it this winter, but maybe next winter I'll have a chance to go. But I'd like to tell a little bit about one of the towns in Haiti and one of the trips that I went on. There's a guy that has pastored churches on the West Bank for a number of years, probably 25 or so, maybe almost 30 years now. And he's from Haiti. He ran from Duvalier, or whatever the case was, as most of the people that are his age, or maybe a little younger in his various congregations, they ran away from Duvalier. Just like people run away from perhaps older times during World War II, they ran away from Hitler. They run away from Chavez. They run away from Fidel Castro in Cuba. You go to South Florida, it's hard to walk 2 feet without bumping into a Cuban. Because that's what happened. There are dictators, there are situations that just don't work, and people leave. He is from, I guess, close to Port-au-Prince, but his wife is from way at the southern tip, way, 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 way out on the peninsula, way at the end, on the top of a mountain. There's a road, I guess. And it's possible if you have a four-wheel drive to go there. And one of the guys actually took his pickup truck, and I think I got a picture of it somewhere, but we don't have four-wheel drive. We can drive to the little road, but then we walk. It's about an hour's walk uphill, of course. On the other side of the little valley thing, there's another little town that we minister in. The first town is called Montagnac. Mountain, I guess. The other one is called La Gombrie, and I don't know what La Gombrie means, but it's another little town. There's another little road to that, and there's actually a little bit that has been done. There's a spring, and somebody took the time to brick it or cement it, whatever, and so it's a real working spring. And they have good water. There is no electricity. There is no phone. There will never be any phone in either of these two villages. If you want water, running water, you got to send the kid to run down to get it in. That's the truth. There's nothing. But to get there, we have to take a plane from Port-au-Prince, about a 45-minute plane, to a place called Jeremy. And on that part of the island, that's about it. The only airport I know out there is Jeremy. If there was a closer one, we'd have flown to that, but we fly to Jeremy because probably that's the only airport there. And that whole area, that whole peninsula, is served by not just the airport, but the town of Jeremy. If you want anything, you want a hacksaw blade or you want anything, you go to Jeremy. And in Port-au-Prince, there's stores, supermarkets. If you want something in Port-au-Prince, you can probably get it. If you want something in Jeremy, you might order it, and it might come by boat in a week. But there's not a lot. But it's better than not having anything at all on the tops of these mountains. Now, I know just a couple of little towns. On the road to Montagnac, or the road rather to the little trail that turns off to Montagnac, there's a couple of little towns. One is called Moron, which is spelled M-O-R-O-N, or Moron. I don't know what it means in French, but it's one of the only little things on that road. And we generally stop there, and we'll find something to eat. Now, there may be a restaurant, I don't know, but generally there's a guy underneath a tree with a table and some cooked food that we don't know where it came from, but that's what we eat. And you know, Bishop, you're out in the middle of nowhere in Africa. Oh, let's eat. Oh, what's that? Don't ask. You don't want to know. It's not bush meat. It's goat or something or chicken, but who knows? Who knows? You know, it's cooked and it's sort of hot because they dumped it back in the grease and that's what you got. Okay, so why did I say all of that? The last time that I went to Montagnac, and when I go with the pastor and his wife. And there are other people that occasionally go with us, what have you. There's some people from, I want to say New York or Boston, I think. Again, they're Haitians, but they sponsor this school that they built up on this mountain. And it's the only school. In fact, the only churches around are us and the Catholic Church. But it's the only school that I know of. And they have a good work there, very nice work. But the last time that I went, we wake up as early as we can on the mountain. And then we pack up real quick, and we don't even have anything to eat. It's just leftovers from last night. And we just hurriedly rush down the mountain. We got an hour. Well, it took an hour to get up the hill. I guess it maybe takes 30 minutes to get down, because downhill's easier. And then we get in the truck that we parked underneath the tree, and we hurry as fast as we can. And it's like an hour at least or something, drive on a washboard road, and we're in the back of this pickup truck jumbling around and what have you, and it's dusty and et cetera, and then et cetera. And as we approached the airport, we saw our plane taking off. We missed it. We were too late. And so what do? And there was a commotion about the hotel, and they thought we were paying too much, and so, you know, and et cetera, and whatever. And we ended up in the hotel we thought we were paying too much for, and I could tell you the whole story, and I could bore you, I guess. But we stayed an extra night, an extra day, really, because, you know, the plane left at 7. We had to wait till 7 o'clock the next morning. We spent an extra day. in Jeremy. Halfway civilized, I suppose, you know, there's electricity and things to eat and buy and whatever. And we walked and we saw the cannons and we saw the market and we saw this and that. That was fine. We had a great time passing out tracts, me and Cindy, my wife. We had a great time. For about an hour or so, we gave out everything we had, 100, 200 tracts, whatever it was. And they were saying, well, you know, you're all out of tracts, but you got another tract. I mean, it was good. The people wanted to hear the gospel. They wanted to hear. It was me, Cindy, and the pastor walking around the marketplace, and they mobbed us as they normally do, and they wanted to hear something about God. And in previous times in other places in Haiti, when I had a crowd, we took the opportunity and I preached for 5 or 10 minutes with my interpreter. And it was just a good time of street ministry. And the pastor, he was okay, but the pastor's wife was like, I don't like Jeremy, I don't want to be here, you know, I want to go back to Eden, let's go back to the mountain, or hey, how can we miss the plane, I want to get back to Port-au-Prince. She said, I don't want to be here. But in my heart, I felt such a lightness in the Spirit. We missed the plane, you know, we shouldn't have been there, but I felt, man, this is good. We had a good time of ministry. We had a good time. I had a good time in the Lord, just walking around and what have you. You know, slapping mosquitoes and the whole nine yards, but I had a good time in the Lord. And I felt that God wanted me to focus ministry in this town of Jeremy. Now, it's been a long time. It's been a number of years since I've been. I don't know if I went since Katrina. I don't remember the dates, but it's been 5, 6, 7, 8 years since I've been. I'd have to take a look at it and see. But it's been in my heart for a while to do some kind of ministry in Jeremy. Yeah, I want to go back to Montagnac, but there's all these villages, all these little mountaintops and villages, all that area. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go, let's say, to make up a term, to go as a missionary at large. I don't care what group, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, I don't care. Because God sent me to preach. God sent me to win souls. I don't want to go there to start a church, but I want to go there to win souls. And if somebody gets saved and they want to go to a Baptist church or a Nazarene church, that's not my problem. If I've won souls, then that's what I want. Now, I don't know if there's a PCG church there. I would certainly work with any PCG missionaries that are in country. But I have a vision to evangelize that part of Haiti. Matter of fact, before I even went the first time, my friend had gone, and this is like in 1993, he went that June or something, spent a week, and while he was there and I was praying for him, God said, I want you to go back. And when he got back, he said, that's it, I'm done, I ain't never going back. And I said, hey Mark, guess what, man, you know, you're going to take me. He said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And finally, what do you know, we went that December. But in looking at a map of Haiti, and I didn't know nothing about Haiti, you know, You say, I want to go to Haiti, or I want to go here to Germany. Well, you want to get the map, maybe read the encyclopedia entry or something, get to know something about where you want to go. And I looked at the map, and the island shaped one way, but half of the island is Haiti, and it's that half sort of looks like a misshapen horseshoe. And the southern peninsula, and I said to myself, hey, I want to go to the tip right there. That's where I want to go. Well, not the first trip, not the second, not the third, but the third or fourth, I guess, trip I went, what do you know, we went all the way to the tip. And then I end up being stranded for a day in Jeremy, and that's where God, I believe, has directed me, if I could, to do any kind of ministry there. And I have no plans, no money. I have no plans. You know, I've got to drive to work tomorrow morning, get up at 6 in the morning and drive back to work, etc. I'm not in any danger of going next week, let's say. And I'm not saying that God has said, look, go do this. I'm not there yet. But it's something that for a number of years now, the Lord has laid upon my heart. Again, I'm not raising money or making any plans or buying any tickets or anything. But please pray with me. That's what I'm asking. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. The last time I was here a couple of weeks ago, we went through Matthew chapter 14. And I believe that the Lord showed us something. And I'd like to take a look at the next chapter, chapter 15. And as I can, I'll try to go through it. I believe that there's a certain part of this chapter that God directed me to, just as chapter 14. But in order to understand it, we have to take the chapter as a whole. And I'll try to do that. But let's take a look at verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please help us to understand your words. Please somehow, Lord, move by your Spirit. Please touch us. Please help us. And as I very often pray, Lord, we would see Jesus. We ask that he would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 1, where this chapter obviously starts, but where this story starts, and I don't know who came up with the chapter divisions, but they got this one right. I believe that this chapter is a unit. It gives an idea, it shows a message that really couldn't be done if the chapter were chopped into two or three. And I want to say many times as we study the Word of God, and particularly I think that this may be borne out in Kings, where I'm studying 2 Kings, and I'm at one point or another we'll get back to that. But in one chapter you'll find three or four different events. Three or four different miracles or people coming to the prophet and saying thus and so. And it looks like when you read it that, hey, these are just separate events. But when you look at the chapter, you realize that they go together. There's a theme. And to this chapter here, chapter 15 of Matthew, I see the same idea. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, everybody knows that it's probably a good idea if you're going to eat, you might ought to wash your dirty hands before you eat. It's the smart thing to do. It's cleanliness, and you get rid of the germs and the dirt or whatever. But that's not what they were talking about. And verse 3 gives that indication. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And he goes on to talk about exactly that, how the Pharisees and what have you would transgress God's commandment. Now, every jot and tittle is important. Some things we may think that's kind of inconsequential or whatever, and some things may be inconsequential, maybe comparatively speaking, but Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled. Everything that God said is important, and we understand the Word of God is God-breathed. This is God's Word to men. This is not some religious people that got together, some deacons or whatever, or bishops, and came up with, hey, let's write a story, let's get a whole lot of stories and call it a Bible. No. This is God Himself that moved upon the disciples, moved upon the apostles, moved upon the prophets, the kings, what have you, whoever it was that wrote this or that book of the Bible. God Himself spoke. God Himself directed them, no, say this. This is what I want to be said. That's important. That's important to understand that God Himself speaks to man. Today, and I guess I could talk about current events or not, but today, it's do whatever you want. Do anything you want. Live any way you want. Marry whatever you want. Who's to say it's wrong? Well, forget the Bible. Society says it's wrong for Adam and Steve. Common sense, biology says it's wrong for Adam and Steve. That's a dead end. Sorry. But the Bible says it's wrong for Adam and Steve. The Bible says that God created man and woman, Adam and Eve. That's His way. Everybody knows where babies come from. Everybody knows. But this is God's way. This is what God set up. It's natural. I understand that. But this is what God set up. And He kind of thinks it's important. But the Pharisees, they had a bunch of rules. Sadducees, bunch of rules. Scribes, etc., the lawyers, they had a bunch of rules. The Bible says this, but they said, oh, but you ought to do this instead. This was one example. They were trying to entrap Jesus, as they did many, many times throughout the New Testament. They tried to trick Jesus. The woman caught in adultery, for instance. I could give example after example of them attempting to entrap Jesus, to show Him to be a fraud, to show Him before the people to be unreliable or whatever. They tried to play gotcha. And back to the current events, we're in the middle of a presidential campaign, and it's all about gotcha. Uh-huh, see, you gave the wrong answer. And they'll go get on TV or whatever and say, well, this candidate or that candidate said this, and doesn't he look stupid? It's the same thing. It's nothing new. It's the same old modus operandi, I guess. You try to trick the guy to make him look bad. But Jesus said, no, you've made the Word of God of none effect in verse 6. Imagine that. You've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. The word, I'm not much on Greek, don't understand it, but I can look things up or I can read behind others. This word, when I first heard about it, katergeo, it made sense. And the man that I read behind, he gave a list of every verse in the Bible that mentions it. But it means to render something useless and powerless. We've got the Word of God. We've got everything that we need to make it to heaven. But the commandment of men, traditions of men, rules of men, religious things that men say we ought to do. If we follow those, it makes the Word of God of none effect. The Bible useless and powerless. Then he says, you hypocrites. In verse 7, he says, hypocrites. And he says, Isaiah did a good job in telling about you. In verse 8 it says, the people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We come to church, some churches, you just sit on your hands. That's expected. Some churches, you dance and sing. That's expected. Some churches you stand, sit, kneel whenever they say. Okay, fine, every church is different, and I'm not here to make any comment on any church at all. But most churches, they teach that you ought to do this or think that. Many times some of these things are contrary to the Bible, the clear teaching of Scripture. And again, I'm not here to attack any church, but every church or every movement I've been in, I've seen problems where people get their eyes off of what the Bible says and who the person of Jesus is, and they do what's expected. And they miss what God truly has for them. Everyone I've been in, without exception, I've seen some problem. And again, I'm not here to make any comment about any church, but I'm saying that there's a message here in this chapter that if we can get our eyes on Jesus and forget the denomination, forget what the deacons say, forget, but what does the Bible say and what does Jesus really have for me? I believe that there's something for us. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.